very much the thoughts that Walt expressed as we observed the Lord's Supper this morning and the things that he had to say regarding sin, you know, and the great significance that sin really bears upon our lives. This world would certainly be a very different place if people gave more serious thought to sin and the impact that it has in our lives. And it would be very, very easy for us as we think about sin to become overwhelmed with it and to have a sense of desperation, of even a sense of inability to be freed from sin. And as Walt pointed out in his thoughts, as serious as sin is, there is a remedy to it. And we need not be in despair over sin, though we must be very aware of the gravity of sin and of the committing of sin. But nonetheless, the message of the Bible is that as serious as that circumstance is, it is a condition that can be overcome. Because there is a wonderful message that is contained within the Bible story, and that is the message of forgiveness. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning for a few moments. I want to talk to you about the gravity not only of sin, but of the hope that we have in forgiveness. That word forgiveness is a great word. It has great meaning to us. Someone has once said that there is no meaning to words until they are put into a context. I think that's exactly right. That once a context is established in which a word is used, that it then really gains meaning to us and significance and understanding. Robin and I were on our way this morning to services and encountered an automobile in front of us that had one of those vanity license plates. You know, and they had the special number on it. And it was a meaningful plate that had the word had the letter G, and then followed by the letters S-U-S, Jesus. But it was preceded by I, and then the little heart that, you know, so frequently seen, or meaning love. So I love Jesus. Then just above the plate was a little dog bone shaped thing that had a little message written on it that said, I heart my, and then it named the name of some type of dog that a breed that I'd never heard of before. I don't know what it was, but it essentially was said, I love my dog. So you've got I love my dog and I love Jesus. Love in both instances, but I would hope that there would be great difference in the meaning of those two statements in the mind of the people that own that vehicle. The context of those two statements have great difference in meaning. And so too does the word forgiveness. It has a great meaning. And the Bible expresses to us over and over the importance of the meaning of the word forgiveness. Now, the Bible is not written as a Greek or a Hebrew lexicon. It's not a dictionary. God could have written His Word in such a way, but He didn't. Instead, we have many, many different ways in which the meaning of forgiveness, in other words, are expressed and defined and explained. And one of the ways that many messages in the Scriptures are expressed is by means of story. By telling a story, there are the teachings of many valuable lessons, so that the Bible is not just a word study, though word studies are very useful in understanding what the Scriptures reveal. But that's not the only way in which we come to understand what God has communicated to us. He teaches us through the means of telling some very wonderful, meaningful stories. And one such story that is told throughout the Old Testament Scriptures is the story about Joseph. And I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about the lesson that Joseph teaches us about forgiveness. I've told you in the past that Joseph and the story about Joseph is of great significance. And there are 50 chapters in the book of Genesis. One quarter of the chapters that make up the book of Genesis are about Joseph. And so the story about this man has to be one of great meaning and of great significance in God's revelation of His Word. And one of the great lessons that He teaches is this lesson about forgiveness. And so I'd like for you, if you would please, to turn to the book of Genesis in the 50th chapter. And we'll look at verses for the purpose of our study at verses 15 through 21. And I'd like for you to read with me where Moses has written that when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." I'm confident that many of you and most of you are very familiar with the story about Joseph, and what happened in the life of this young man begins in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. Tells how he became the enemy of his brothers, who sold him into slavery, and he was taken off into Egypt, and he was put into the service of an official of the Egyptian government for a while, and then was thrown into jail, being falsely accused of wrongdoing, and then eventually, through God's providential care, he was delivered out of jail, became a trusted servant to Pharaoh, and second to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. And in the course of his living in this way, he, as he expresses in the verses we've read, saved his family his family, his brothers, his father, and all of their relatives in their homeland fell under a time of in which they were without food. They suffered in a famine. They went into Egypt to find food and came into contact once again with Joseph, not recognizing him at first, and then eventually coming to know who this was, that it was the brother that they had betrayed and had mistreated so severely. And but yet he provided for them, and his father was eventually brought down into Egypt. Probably something around 20 years or so between the time he was sold into slavery until the time when his father and family came down to Egypt and benefited from his care. And then from that point in time, another 17 years until his father died. And that's where they were in the text that we've just read. After their father died, these brothers were concerned that now he's going to get even with us. Now we're going to suffer. But Joseph does not react in that way. I think it's interesting, as it has been pointed out by some, that here in Genesis chapter 50, the word forgive really is the first time that it is mentioned in the Scriptures. In verse 17, if you noticed it, as the brothers were pleading with Joseph, they said, "Please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong." They said this was what their father had said. And they were passing on this message to Joseph. But the appeal was to forgive them. And now, then again, in the second half of verse 17, "And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. So on two occasions, the word forgive is mentioned in this appeal that the brothers make. And Joseph is more than happy to provide just exactly that. Well, I want to ask you this morning for a few moments to give consideration to the forgiveness that we have received ourselves from God. And also to give consideration, give a little estimation on our own of the kind of forgiveness that we ourselves are willing to provide to others. Joseph is just a wonderful example of someone who demonstrated this willingness to forgive. And the first thing that I think we learn about forgiveness in the example that we have in the case of Joseph is that forgiveness is that which is a God-given, forgiveness has a God-given or centered view about life. Rather than being what oftentimes people are more inclined to be, and that's self-serving, forgiveness, in the way that Joseph demonstrated it, is a willingness to think not about one's self, about how one was wronged, how easy that would have been for Joseph to have done after his father died. That was exactly what his brothers were fearful of, that he would begin now to think about and to concentrate upon the wrong that he had suffered, to think about himself. That's what they expected. Why do you suppose they expected that? Well, probably because that's what most people do. But when we think about the biblical message about forgiveness, it requires that there be an emphasis upon a God-centered view about one's life, and not a selfish view of one's life. If you would, turn to the book of Romans and the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 and following, this is what the Apostle Paul had to say. "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is precisely what Joseph did. This is exactly what Paul is urging us to do as well. It's to put into practice a willingness to not think about ourselves, but to think about others, to think about doing for them what is involved in being truly forgiving of them. You know, in that reading, he urges us to, in verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Why do you suppose that's the case? It's because what most people expect is exactly the opposite. What most people expect is not to receive something to drink when they're thirsty. What people expect is not to receive something to eat when they are hungry. Because that's just not what most people do. But that's precisely what Joseph did. We forgive because we know God forgives us. And we realize that others are imperfect. And that we are in need of grace. And as such, we must be willing to give grace to others. You remember Jesus' admonition to his disciples that they must be willing to forgive if they expect to be forgiven themselves by the God of heaven. But not only is it true of the forgiveness that Joseph extended, that it was God-centered, but also it was a forgiveness that provided comfort for the offender. The text that we've read there in Genesis chapter 50 says that he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph's brothers finally confess the wrong that they were guilty of. The secret, the family secret that they had held for some long period of time. Remember, we talked about the fact that it was some 20 years that Joseph spent time there in Egypt. And then after his father and family came, it was down there, it was another 17 years. And they kept all of this time, they kept to themselves. But finally now, they confess their wrongdoing before Joseph. They were, in essence, perennial hostages to the wrong that they had done. They had hated. Genesis 37, verses 4 and 5, and verse 8 tells us. They had hated Joseph, their brother. Chapter 37 and verse 11 says that they were jealous of their brother. In Genesis 37, verses 11 and 12, they lied about what had happened to their brother. You remember how they sold him off into slavery, but they went back and they told their father that he had been killed by some wild beast. And their father was persuaded that his son, Joseph, was gone. His body was gone. There was no remainder of him left. And after all of this time, now they plead for forgiveness. The text says that they... It's interesting in the verses that you read in chapter 42 of Genesis, at an earlier point when the brothers first encountered Joseph and they came to realize who this was. Verse 21 says, then they said to one another, truly we are guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us. yet we would not listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. There are three, I think, interesting statements made in that verse as they reflected upon their realization initially that this was Joseph and their lives were in the balance now. They were in his hands. First of all, they said, we're guilty. The literal phrase there means we are very guilty. It movingly reflects the emotions that they now experience that are lodged in their hearts. And it pointedly describes how scared they are, how they are terrified about their own condition because they know they're guilty. What impact do you think that would have upon the minds and the hearts of men and women if they came to realize, as Walt was speaking to us about, their guilt? But the second thing that this verse says, not only were they did they acknowledge that they were guilty, they said, and twice they say, that they were in distress. Actually, they speak about the distress, first of all, of Joseph. And they recount, they remember how distressed he was when they sold him into slavery. Can you put yourself in that situation? Can you imagine what it would have been like? At the hands of your own brothers to be taken and sold into slavery and shipped off, and how they stood and they watched. Can you imagine the look on his face? That's what they remember. That's what they reflect on here. They are guilty, and they know of the distress that they caused him. But they also talk in the second time in that verse. They mention, now we have come into this distress. Now we are the ones that are in distress because of our guilt. Now we're the ones that are unsure about our fate. Now we're the ones that are in despair over our condition. And the third thing that is mentioned in this verse is it is said that they wouldn't listen. They acknowledged that they would not listen to what Joseph had to say during this time. They would not listen to his pleas. They would not listen to his appeals. Think about that. Think about how when we confront sin, maybe it's our own sin, like these brothers, or maybe we find ourselves in a situation of Joseph, and someone else has done us wrong. Think about how guilt and distress and the refusal to listen becomes a part of our own experiences with sin. When someone is broken enough to ask for forgiveness, they're vulnerable. That's exactly where these brothers were. When you come to chapter 42, and then again in chapter 50, that's exactly where these brothers are, in absolute and complete vulnerability. They're overwhelmed by their sorrow. How do you deal with people who have sinned and done you wrong? Can you be touched by their feeling of vulnerability, their sense of guilt, their willingness to recognize their wrongdoing? Are you willing to think in those terms rather than just to think about how I've been wronged? I think there's a wonderful text in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 11 where the Apostle Paul speaks about this. And you're familiar with the story from the first letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians about the man who's taken his father's wife, probably his stepmother. He's taken her. They are in a relationship that is sinful, that the Apostle Paul says is absolutely unacceptable and he directs the Corinthian church to take action, to correct this man, to discipline this man, and they withdraw fellowship from him according to Paul's instructions. When you come to the second letter to the Corinthians, verse 5, it appears that Paul addresses the situation once again. Now things are much different. The man, apparently, repents of his wrongdoing. He's ready to correct things. And listen to what Paul says to the Corinthians. If any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much, to all of you. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority. So that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him, lest somehow such a one be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. For to this end also I wrote that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. But whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. The Apostle Paul's instruction to these brethren is, this man that had been involved in that which was so wrong has corrected himself. He's corrected himself according to the instructions that he's received. And so, what are you to do? He urges these brethren to forgive him. Because an unwillingness to forgive, he says, can be so overwhelming. Notice also, he says, that they should do this in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan. We're not ignorant of his schemes. The point that he's making is an unwillingness to forgive is a tool of Satan. It's a serious matter to be unwilling to forgive others. Oh, most of us are anxious to have others be willing to forgive us, but we need to be anxious to forgive others. That's what Joseph teaches us. A man who was willing to live a life God-centered to the extent that he was willing to forgive his brothers. And he was a man willing to comfort his brothers who so severely wronged him. And then finally, notice that there is involved in this forgiveness a fruit for the one forgiven. There is something born to the benefit, something produced to the benefit of others. In the last verses that we read there in Genesis chapter 50, Joseph makes the statement, I will provide for you and your little ones. You ever felt like telling someone who's done you wrong and they've asked to be forgiven, and have you ever felt like saying, okay, I'll forgive you, but don't you ever expect anything out of me again. Don't you ever expect me to treat you kindly again. Don't you ever expect that I be willing to show you any kind of consideration. Ever felt like that? I want to tell you, if there was ever anybody that had a right to feel like that and to act like that, I would say it'd have to be Joseph. I will provide for you and for your little ones. You who are scared that I'm going to put an end to you now that our father is dead. You who are frightful that I'm going to abuse you and mistreat you in some way, feeling as though I am entitled to do that. Now, he says, I'm going to do for you and for your little ones what's good. There is fruit for the forgiven that is provided by the forgiving. It's true of God's forgiveness for us. It's true of our forgiveness for one another. Forgiveness brings healing. It sets someone free from the chains and the burdens and the years of bondage that they have experienced. Can you imagine how these brothers must have felt after this about their brother Joseph, who we said at one time they hated, they were jealous of, they abused him in a terrible way? This is precisely the kind of forgiveness that the Apostle Paul urges his brethren to have in Ephesians, the second chapter, in verses 4 and following. He says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's the kind of forgiveness that you and I have received from God. Isn't that the kind of forgiveness you want? I think most of us would say, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I need. Well, it's exactly the kind of forgiveness that we must provide to and for those who may wrong us. Over in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, in the latter two verses, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." It's good and it's helpful for us to maybe do a word study about forgiveness, to look it up in Greek lexicons, but I'll tell you what will help us the most. It is to see it lived out and demonstrated by Jesus and by Joseph. There's a little story about Charlie Brown and Lucy. You may remember the stories that are told about the baseball that they would play from time to time. And Lucy explained to Charlie Brown, who was something of the coach of the team, at the end of a game, why she had lost sight of a baseball. She said this, "Sorry I missed that easy fly ball. I thought I had it, but suddenly I remembered all the others I've missed, and the past got in my eyes." A lot of times folks will say, "The sun got in my eyes," or "The wind was blowing," or whatever. But the past got in my eyes. That's the problem with dealing with forgiveness. Is we're so often so inclined to let the past get in our eyes and to keep us from seeing what we need to see at present. It may be that some in our midst this very morning need to see a picture of forgiveness. Look at the story that we've talked about of Joseph, but even more so, you look at the stories of the New Testament about the forgiveness that Jesus provides, the forgiveness that God, His Father, provides through Jesus. Don't let the past get in your eyes and keep you from seeing that forgiveness. If you desire that forgiveness from God, like those brothers of Joseph that we talked about, if you're willing to see and admit the guilt of your wrongdoings, the distress that is caused by that wrongdoing, if you're one who seeks to no longer refuse to listen, but if you're willing now to listen to what Jesus has to say, then forgiveness can be yours. Jesus told men and women that if they would believe He's the Son of God, if they would turn away from their lives of sin, confess their faith in Him, and be baptized, that they'd be forgiven, made whole, pure before God. And looking forward to a home in heaven with Him, as they continue their lives, they continue to receive forgiveness from Him when they do wrong. Is it your desire to receive that forgiveness? Then we urge you to come in obedience to Him today as we stand and sing together.